best part of a trail like this is being away from cars. You don't have to worry about cars behind you, in front of you. You can relax a lot more and just enjoy the ride.
That's a cyclist describing a ride on the Katy Trail. But what about a bike ride in the city? You'd be hard-pressed to find that same kind of freedom from traffic anxiety during rush hour. I'm Gina Kaufman. It's been about a year since Central Standard's last check-in on our city's bicycling infrastructure. Last year, we heard that the city's goal was to get a silver ranking from the League of American Bicyclists by 2015. Did we do it? We'll find out right after this news. Stay with us.
We're pumping.
Just outside of St. Louis, in a parking lot overlooking the Missouri River, a few cyclists with graying hair are making final preparations for a week-long trek on the Katy Trail. That's the old railroad line that's been converted into a biking and hiking trail spanning the majestic state of Missouri. People are traveling from pretty far away to bike the Katy Trail, but why don't we let them go ahead and tell us about it?
Hi, my name's Keith Smiedema. I'm from Indianapolis.
Henry Litovsky, I'm from Paris.
Okay, I'm Mike Hoover from the greater Indianapolis area.
My name's Chris Davies from San Francisco.
One more, that's it.
We're really just looking for the scenery along the Missouri River. We're making stops. We'll be doing about 60 to 70 miles a day and doing bed and breakfasts or hotels overnight, going out to the other end and then coming back.
It's forested almost the whole way. You're beside the river part-time. There's cliffs you go beside. It's very scenic. Yeah, line that up. It's actually the first time I've ever done this.
Really? For a West Coast person, this is a different part of the world. The Katy Trail is going to allow me to see a part of the country that I would otherwise never see.
The best part of a trail like this is being away from cars. You don't have to worry about cars behind you, in front of you. You can relax a lot more, kind of let your mind wander and just enjoy the ride. Yeah.
I don't know what to expect, what I'll discover, and I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to it, too. I'm Gina Kaufman, and throughout today's show, we'll keep dropping in on bicyclists along Missouri's Katy Trail, where cars are but a distant memory. But first, the bicyclists flocking to the Katy Trail got us wondering once again about bicycle infrastructure here in town. Today's Central Standard is a yearly checkup to see how Kansas City is progressing in its plans to make this a friendlier city for bikes. Eric Rogers, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello.
Eric is with us from Bike Walk KC. He's the director and co-founder of that organization. And Eric, how long has Bike Walk KC been around?
We've been around almost 5 years now.
What prompted you to start it?
Oh, good question. I started out as a frustrated bike commuter, trying to bike to work when they're back in the late 90s when there were no bike lanes or mini trails or really any place to ride. And I just started getting involved volunteering and doing things here and there, going to public meetings and finding out what was going on and what the challenges and the opportunities were.
How much have things changed since then?
Things have changed quite a bit. There are a lot of things are improving. There's really a lot of increased momentum around Kansas City. A lot of local governments are starting to make investments in bike lanes and trails and sidewalks, places to walk and bike. We're starting to see a lot of public interest, folks that want to be more active and have the opportunities to bike to work, walk to the grocery store, things like that. And we're starting to see a business community that recognizes that this is important for economic development.
How so?
Things like that. Several ways. A lot of folks these days are talking about the millennials and what do the millennials want and how to get them to our city and keep them here.
So attracting a workforce in some way?
Workforce, and it's just not the millennials, but it's also a lot of generations. And the marketplace these days is moving to a much greater preference for places to walk and bike, neighborhoods that are walkable and bikeable, businesses and offices and workplaces that are within walking and biking distance, as well as transit.
At the beginning of the show, we reminded our listeners that this time last year, the city had a goal of getting upgraded from a bronze ranking with the League of American Bicyclists to a silver ranking. So first of all, what's the difference between a bronze ranking and a silver ranking?
So the bike-friendly community ranking from the League of American Bicyclists is a national program that ranks cities, bronze, silver, gold, platinum. And it assesses a variety of things in each community, from the infrastructure, how many bike lanes are there, how many miles of trails, educational programs, safety programs, law enforcement, all types of things. And so
number of miles of trails, I remember, was a big part of what was going to make the difference for Kansas City. Did we pull it off? Are we silver now?
Not yet. I don't think they've made a decision yet.
We'll find out for sure in just a second how that's progressing. Okay. But what is your sense in general of how quickly things are changing in Kansas City, and whether that's keeping pace with what you have hoped to see?
I think that for a long time, things were changing very slowly. But I think that in the last couple of years, we've really started to reach a critical mass, and there is some momentum building. And I think in the next 2 or 3 years, we'll see a lot of really good progress happen. It may look like it's happened very quickly, but it's really because of a lot of things that have happened over the previous years.
So talk to me about that. First of all, has it been slow change compared to other cities, or is the change always this slow?
I think to some extent it has been slower than other cities, but on the other hand, I think we got started much later than other cities. A lot of the really famous bike cities like Portland or Chicago started doing this stuff back in the 80s and really had a much longer head start on us, which means now we have the opportunity to see what's worked and what hasn't worked in other places and really bring in the best of what's out there to Kansas City. And I think that's what's starting to happen now.
So when you talk about, though, slow change here, is there anything about the way the city works and the way progress happens here that could be different? Or
I like to say that the Show Me State is not just a slogan. I mean, there really is kind of a cultural skepticism, not just in Missouri, but also in Kansas. And so folks like to see it first. You have to kind of prove to people that it can be done. So if you are talking like something like a road diet where you might want to change the way a street's configured to squeeze in a bike lane or a wider sidewalk, or things like the streetcar, you really have to find a good demonstration project to show people so they can come out and see it and touch it and feel it and experience it.
So you mean by demonstration project within this city, not like some other city has done this and it's worked?
Yeah, you really need to have a local example that folks can see with their own eyes to really understand what you're talking about. And then once you do that, folks in Kansas City are really starting to embrace those types of changes.
Well, I'd like to bring a couple of additional guests into this discussion to get their take on things. Let's hear from Deb Ridgway. She's with us from the city, and she's the bike and pedestrian coordinator for Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Deb.
Good morning.
So what is the answer to this question? Are we still awaiting our 2015 assessment from the League of American Bicyclists?
We'll be submitting that application later this year. We're still working on it. It's a lot of data driven, and it takes several different entities of collecting that data to put it all together. We're hopeful, but at the same time, I have to be realistic, and getting some feedback recently from the city of Milwaukee and my counterpart there, they recently applied for an upgrade from bronze to silver, and they have installed much more of the innovative facilities than we have, and they did not make silver. So I think the competition, the application is much tougher than it once was, and I think it holds a higher higher value in a lot of cities these days across the country.
When you say that Milwaukee has implemented some innovative things that we haven't done yet, what kinds of things are you talking about?
They've actually installed green pavement in their bike lanes. I believe they also have a cycle track. They've just have been quicker to get a few of the more innovative types of bikeways in the ground that you'll see in Portland and Chicago have really been the innovators.
Can you explain what a cycle track is?
Sure. How Kansas City defines it as a protected bike lane. It can be one way in the flow of traffic, or it can be bidirectional on one side of the street. And so protected, meaning that you use some sort of vertical element to separate the bike movement from automobile movement.
So just a physical barrier, not just a painted line on the road.
Correct.
And they've done this in Milwaukee, and that wasn't enough to get them up to silver?
Yeah, that's what I found out.
So that doesn't seem too promising. But one of the things last year that was really emphasized when we checked in on bike infrastructure was just the pace we were making at getting more bike lanes, even just, you know, the painted line kind, in the city. How many have we gotten? A lot of additional miles?
Well, considering that we were sitting on 6 miles of bike lanes for many, many years, as Eric mentioned, just in the last, I would say, 3 or 4, we finally have been making progress. We have 38 lane miles of actual dedicated bike lanes. We've got 12 miles of shared lane markings and 352 lane miles of signed routes. So that builds us out at about a third of our dedicated system, and we've got about 71 miles of trail.
Let's talk about those designations you mentioned. Shared lane markings, what does that mean exactly?
So it's a symbol of a bicycle and two chevron arrows that is placed in the driving lane to help indicate to cyclists where to position yourself. So we try to get folks out of the door zone. So parallel parking, folks oftentimes open their doors, don't look in the rearview mirror, look in their side mirror. And yeah, it is a big ouch if you have ever been doored on your bike. And so it helps to position the cyclist. And also, it's a good indicator to motorists that they should expect a bicycle out there and to share that space.
That's not a dedicated lane. Does that count as miles when you're measuring miles of bike lanes that have been added?
I separate those out. So okay. I say we have 38 miles of dedicated bike lane and 12 miles of shared lane markings.
So in those 38 miles, how much of that mileage is continuous? Because I know that's a complaint I hear a lot, is that, yes, there are bike lanes, but when they just end before I have reached my destination, that's not totally helpful.
Well, so you got to put it into the context that Kansas City has 6,000 lane miles of roadway. So, and we've identified 600, so of that, to be dedicated bike lanes or dedicated bike ways, I should say. When we first adopted our Bike KC plan, there was kind of trails and bike lanes, and that was kind of all there was, and some signed routes. Today, because of innovative cities like Chicago and New York and Portland and Seattle, we have a much broader design toolkit for those bikeways. And so the benefit of being behind everybody else is we you know, get to take advantage of them studying and testing. And, you know, for a while, like 10 years ago, we didn't know if we were going to put blue, green, or red pavement marking coloring on the pavement for bike lanes. And now we know green is the best color for visibility and for just helping to increase the safety.
But just back to that question quickly of how much of that mileage is continuous. How much of it is continuous?
So, you know, we have on the bike lanes itself, there are Congress is probably the longest continuous mileage. Longview Road has probably about 3 miles now. It's not long. No, we don't have 10, 20 continuous miles of bike lanes, but we're getting there. When Lee's Summit Road, for example, is completed, we're doing a roadway improvement project. That will be about a 12-mile stretch. That will have bike lanes as well as sidewalk and trail adjacent to the roadway. Shoto is another one that we've recently done where you've got about 3 miles of continuous bike lanes, trail, and sidewalk. So the idea of a complete street has really become our new standard for what we build.
Deb, how would you describe the last year in terms of progress toward these goals, toward complete streets?
Well, I always want things to be faster than they are, as I'm sure many in the community do. you know, it's a learning process, and it's also an education process regionally as well as internally at the city of what makes sense for Kansas City. And I think, as Eric mentioned, the last couple of years we've made much greater strides and are doing a much better job leveraging federal funds to help construct bikeways. When you are a city with no dedicated funding to build the facilities, and it's very hard. It used to be 10 years ago when I moved here, sidewalks and bike lanes were the first thing cut on a roadway improvement project because it was the quickest and easiest way to save money. And now we say, well, maybe instead of a mile of roadway improvement, we'll do three quarters of a mile or whatever that distance is so that we can make sure we build a livable street that multiple modes can use.
So we're having to scale back sometimes because of budget.
Absolutely.
Eric, you wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of touch on that issue of connectivity and having kind of a fragmented system. And a lot of that has been the consequence, like Deb said, of not having truly dedicated funding for this compared with a city like St. Louis, which has a dedicated regional bi-state funding mechanism for trails and bike lanes.
How do we get a dedicated funding mechanism?
There are a lot of ways to get to it. There have been some proposals to create that legislation for our region. It did go through the Missouri General Assembly a couple years ago. It has yet to go through the Kansas legislature. So we still don't have the enabling legislation from both states to make that possible. So the consequence is we often have, you know, trails that don't connect to each other. Most of the cities in the region are trying to be very frugal and incorporate bike lanes when they repave streets.
When you say that this didn't go through the Kansas legislature, mm-hmm. and that it did go through a Missouri legislature, first of all, what is it? And second of all, are these things that have had that people have had opportunities to vote on?
No, there hasn't been any voting yet, unfortunately. So the big idea would be to create a bi-state, multi-county taxing district with a very small portion of a sales tax, which is the model that St. Louis uses. And that extends through several counties in both Missouri and Illinois. There is an effort to create the enabling legislation at the state level that would allow the individual counties in the Kansas City region to go to the voters and ask for that. At this point, the only thing that has been approved by the state of Missouri is for that to happen in Jackson County. We still need to add the other Missouri side counties to that and then get similar legislation in Kansas. And so there are lots of other ways to do it. You know, you can piecemeal different funding sources together. For example, Platte County in the Northland has a sales tax for parks and trails, and they've partnered with Kansas City, Missouri on a lot of the projects up north. Johnson County has a small property tax mill levy that supports the extensive trail system that they have there. But we still don't have any central city or broadly regional funding mechanism to do this.
Well, Mitch Williams is a member of the Kansas City Metro Bicycle Club, and he's here to speak up on behalf of the typical bicyclist who actually uses the roads this way with the two-wheeled vehicle. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Gina, and I'd like to say good morning to your guests as well.
Thanks. What's the last year been like on the ground as a cyclist?
I think it's been very enjoyable for me. I noticed a lot of the improvements that Deb and Eric has talked about, like the bike signs, the arrows. And the thing that I notice mostly is that there seems to be an increased awareness of cyclists by motorists.
Really? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I can remember there was a time when I would take a ride or something in the city, and I would be yelled at by people in automobiles telling me to get on the sidewalk. I belong on the sidewalk. Now, I never hear that.
Because people now have been educated around where you belong as a bicyclist?
And I think there's also a critical mass that has been developed. The more people they see on cycles, the better it is for those people that do cycle.
Have you noticed more people riding bikes?
I have. And in fact, it was amazing. My business partner and I were out doing some volunteer work for Bike Walk KC one night. And it was like maybe like 10:30 at night. And we were riding through a neighborhood that we were not expecting to see anybody. And there were so many people out on bicycles, walking and riding bicycles that we were really surprised.
Would you mind telling me what neighborhood that was?
It was in the Ward Parkway neighborhood between like 75th Street and I would say like 95th Street between Ward Parkway and Warnell in that area.
So how does that affect you as a bicyclist to see more people out? Does that make a kind of difference, or is infrastructure just crucial here?
It's a combination of the infrastructure and the people. It makes me happy as a cyclist to see more people out on bicycles for the health benefits that cycling offers and for the fact that people are actually being active and replacing cars.
Do you ever, for yourself, when you're mapping out your route to go someplace, find yourself mapping out kind of a circuitous route because you want to avoid dangerous spots or traffic? Or do you find that you can take the most efficient route and find a way to make it work?
Well, no. I have to take the routes that I think that are safest for me. There are certain streets I personally just will not ride on.
Willing to name names?
Sure. I won't ride on Main.
Anywhere on Main?
Typically, I will not, no. Or Broadway, especially Broadway. I will if I have to on Main, but on Broadway, I will not.
What are your criticisms of Main and Broadway? Maybe we can get some of our guests here to respond to those and tell us if there are any plans.
The amount of traffic that's on it and the fact that people, even though we belong, people don't look out for us on those types of streets. So I would take a street that would be parallel to either Main or Broadway if I was going to go north and south.
Deb, are there any plans within the city to address the cyclability of Main and Broadway?
Well, those two streets actually are not on the Bike KC plan for the very reasons that Mitchell describes. They are considered arterials, and they are primarily about moving car traffic. If you look at the Bike KC plan, the parallels that were chosen into downtown is Washington for a section of that area. And then we have the Charlotte and Holmes connection from Midtown into downtown as our kind of main north-south.
Eric, what do you think about what you're hearing so far? I mean, is there progress to be made that Mitch's comments or what we've discussed so far really taps into?
Yes, there's definitely still progress to be made. There's still a lot of opportunity. Something that the city did over the last few months was to look at all of the streets in the city to see where road diets could be implemented, which is to maybe repurpose a little bit of the existing space to add in room for people who walk and bike.
Does that include removing space for cars?
It could include removing travel lanes. It could include removing on-street parking. In looking at the bike-friendly community process and getting feedback from the League of American Bicyclists, one of the big pieces of feedback was that our streets are really overbuilt and or underutilized, and we have a lot of big four-lane streets that just aren't carrying a lot of traffic, and those are opportunities to do a little bit something different with.
Central Standard is off to a break. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the roadblocks you encounter on your bike and your ideas for making this a more bike-friendly town. We'd especially love to hear from people who are interested in bicycling, but not entirely comfortable yet. What would make the difference? 816-235-2888. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. For our next stop along the Katy Trail, let's drop in on the town of Bluffton, Missouri, where bass player and former construction worker Doug Rendelman has found a second career. He's now the proprietor of one of the first bed and breakfasts catering specifically to cyclists.
I've always been a big-time cyclist. So when they first started talking the possibility of the trail, I started looking. And I found this as an abandoned property, which was what I could afford. I had no money. But I had a couple $1,000s, and I put it as a down payment and bought this property and then just went to work. The real season is right about now, 1st of May until after July 4th. Then it gets too hot and you don't see very many people except for day riders until after Labor Day. And then that's the real season. In September and October, I can be full every single night.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep all night and I work all day.
I guess you could say I'm entertaining or irritating, one or the other. Most of the customers like the idea. That's what they want a B&B for. They want somebody to visit with them and tell them about the area and talk with them and ask questions about where they're from, find out a little bit. I love that. I get to hear from people from everywhere, so I get to see a lot of different attitudes and thoughts on takes on society. But at night, most of the time, we'll come out and sit by a bonfire and play music. I've got 8 or 9 guitars and 2 or 3 basses, so, you know, if somebody plays or even thinks they can play, you know, I encourage them.
That was a scene from a trailside B&B in Bluffton, Missouri, where bicyclists hang out by the bonfire at night, singing songs, trading stories. Kind of makes me want to pack my bags, but I will stay here to talk about the city, where enthusiasm for riding bikes is on an incline and infrastructure is struggling to switch gears. Our guests are Eric Rogers of Bike Walk KC, Deb Ridgway from the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and a bicyclist, Mitch Williams. He's a member of KC Metro Bicycle Club. Hi again, Eric.
Hello.
And hello again, Deb.
Hello.
And we'll be getting back to Mitch again shortly. I'm just wanting to touch on a tweet we've received from someone who says, in reference to our 38 miles of bike lanes, this really is not something to brag about. Tucson, Arizona, to take just one example, has 600 miles. We must do more. Deb, how do you respond to something like that?
Well, as I said earlier, when we sat on 6 miles of bike lanes for an eternity and just in the last couple of years have gotten to 38 with no dedicated funding, I do want to brag about that. Do we have a long way to go? Absolutely, we have a very long way to go. When you look at the fact that we have a 600-mile Bike KC plan and a 230-mile trail plan, yeah, we've got some heavy lifting to do.
Tell me more about that plan. Tell me more about, I hear we are going to get some dedicated lanes with protection.
Yeah. So a project that I've been spending about the last year on trying to move forward is something called the Downtown Loop and Neighborhood Connector. It creates a 13-mile loop using Grand as the spine and connects via 20th Street to State Line into a project that is that the Unified Government has is also doing on Southwest Boulevard. We also will be adding bike lanes, buffered bike lanes, on West Penway, Beardsley Road. We'll be bringing that into 3rd Street again, and then there's a spur on 18th Street all the way to Benton. So this will be.
Can we define those things though for a second? Buffered bike lanes and a spur.
Sorry.
No, it's
so,
okay.
Buffered bike lanes are you take a conventional bike lane, and then you add a 2 to 3 foot kind of striped out buffer zone between the car lane travel and the bike lane. So it gives just a little extra cushion of a sense of safety and protection. And so that will be on Grand. We'll also be doing a road diet on Grand, as Eric mentioned before the break, about a number of streets where we are looking at reducing the number of car lanes because, you know, we just don't have the demand.
And we do have a growing demand for multimodal infrastructure.
That phrase road diet is so funny to me because it's like the car lanes have gotten fat and we're going to, you know, help them trim their waistlines with bike lanes, which the parallel, I don't, it's just, it's funny. Is this, where did this terminal, how long has this terminology been around, Eric?
Oh, that's a good question that I don't know the answer to, but it's been around in a lot of places. And it is funny, but it's also very apt because not only is Kansas City so far behind on walking and biking, but we're also, we rank really poorly on a lot of public health measures like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, inactivity. And so not only do the people of Kansas City need to go on a little bit of a diet, so do our roads.
Well, we're going to get to some callers. If you want to join this conversation at 816-235-2888, just give us a call. We're especially interested in knowing where specifically you encounter difficulty as a bicyclist, or if you're interested in biking and not quite comfortable yet, what would make the difference for you? 816-235-2888. Let's speak with John. He's with us from Shawnee. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How about you?
Good. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about the walking.
Oh, good. You're into using your feet and legs.
Oh, yeah. I was doing it just like we did when we were kids. I did it. I mixed my exercise with my, transportation needs. And I would ride here in Shawnee. I'm on the east side down to Kansas City, Missouri. And I'd ride all over, you know, wherever I needed to go. I enjoyed it very much, but I would do it on the streets and the sidewalks. I would walk on the sidewalks, and then there were times I'd have to carry my bicycle across fields or whatever. And so I guess I was just doing the best I could without the, you know, the designated markings.
Well, thanks so much, John.
Okay, thank you.
John is an example of maybe someone who's made some makeshift adjustments of his own in the absence of the infrastructure that sort of paves the way for him. Is that common? And what are some of the benefits and pitfalls of making your own way where the infrastructure isn't there?
It's very common. It used to be, and still is the case somewhat, that you have to really be creative in how you get to where you want to go, picking those streets that feel more comfortable to you. The downside of that then is it limits the accessibility of bicycling for folks. There's a ton of people that are really interested and would like to bike more, but they just don't feel safe. They don't know how to do that makeshift sort of planning and preparation. And they really need those defined, painted, and separated facilities to feel safe and feel comfortable.
John is calling from Shawnee, and that is not the same as Overland Park, but they're neighborly. And I am interested in Overland Park's approved plans for 165 miles of bike lanes. It involves removing car lanes to make room in some places. Eric, what's your knowledge about, first of all, how that's going over so far?
Just real quick, a shout out to Shawnee, since John called in from Shawnee. Shawnee was the first designated bike-friendly community in the region, and they've been for many years. But in Overland Park, about a month or so ago, the Overland Park City Council approved a brand new bike master plan that is going to build on the city's already existing and extensive trail system and complement it with an on-street system of bike lanes. Some of those types of facilities that Deb was talking about, a mix of bike lanes, buffered bike lanes, the shared lane markings. And they actually have a pretty ambitious and yet pragmatic plan. I think they're going to try to do about 30 miles of bike lanes this year through their annual street repaving process. And they're really emphasizing connections between neighborhoods and workplaces and schools and shopping areas.
That's interesting. On the report card from the American League of Bicyclists for Kansas, statewide, one of the criticisms of Kansas was that there didn't seem to be a lot of bike commuting. And one of their suggestions to Kansas is get that up to the national average. So is this like an incubation place for the state, possibly a state that has that overall criticism to cope with?
Yes, definitely. The Overland Park Bike Plan, as far as I know, will be the most ambitious in the state of Kansas. And they have a really good process for making some really quick progress. And so I think that it will really be a good example for other communities. At Bike Walk KC, we're in touch regularly with the other local advocates across Kansas and Missouri. And there are a lot of efforts underway in places like Wichita and Topeka and Lawrence that are also very promising. And I think that Overland Park will be a great example for others to build on.
In the Star article about that change, some people expressed enthusiasm for the gesture, I guess I would say, but concerns about safety, the argument being that narrowing car lanes at a time when drivers are often distracted by gadgets and that kind of thing, these adaptations could make things less safe for bicyclists and not more safe. Is that something that you think resonates, or is that not a concern?
It's something where you really have to have a multifaceted approach. So narrowing the lanes has the inherent effect of slowing down cars, forcing drivers to pay a little bit better attention to what they're doing. But you also need to add in things like education. So educating motorists about their responsibilities, educating cyclists about how to ride safely and pragmatically. You also need to do a lot of enforcement. You need to get the law enforcement and the police departments involved to make sure that everybody is following the rules of the road, combating distracted driving. Kansas is one of those states that has a statewide ban on texting while driving. And it's things like that that are really important and helpful.
So that would be your answer to how we educate drivers, is by getting mostly law enforcement involved?
That's one of the ways. This is Bike Month, and if you've looked around town, you may have seen billboards around town in partnership with the Mid-America Regional Council to promote Bike Month and to promote awareness of all the road users. You really need a little bit of everything.
Let's talk back with our friend Mitch, who's the bicyclist in our panel. Mitch, I want to know if you've noticed any difference in terms of riding in the city versus riding in the suburbs.
Hi, Gina. Well, In the suburbs, seems like the streets are wider, so there's more room for me to ride. In the city, because it's older, the streets seem to be a little more narrow. I do enjoy riding boulevards, however. And I'd also like to comment on something that we talked about earlier, about when the caller from Shawnee called in and improvising his way. I think more education is necessary, special education for cyclists. We at KCMBC, we've come up with a PSA announcement designed to educate motorists about the three-foot rule that's in effect.
What's the three-foot rule?
Well, basically, it's a law that that says that cyclists need to have 3 foot of clearance from automobiles. Give them 3 foot passing room.
And when you say that there needs to be education for bicyclists, what is it exactly that you're proposing? How would bicyclists be educated? I mean, when you get a driver's license, you have to take a test, and that's a formalized process. What would you recommend for bicyclists?
Well, with the club, we're doing what we call new rider clinics. So people that are interested in doing some road riding, we're teaching them the laws, how to safely navigate. I even believe that Bike Walk KC has a traffic 101 safety course. So there are many different educational venues out for people that want to get out and ride their bicycles, to teach them to be safe.
Central Standard is headed to one last break. We'll get responses to that when we return. We'll also make one last stop on the Katy Trail, and we'll keep hearing your ideas and frustrations when it comes to riding a bike in Kansas City. Our focus is infrastructure. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. This is Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're back on the Katy Trail. Actually, a little past it, between Clinton, where the trail ends, and Kansas City. The bike trail, which was converted from an old railroad line, doesn't go all the way to Kansas City yet, but many business owners are hopeful it soon will, like this guy.
My name is Alan Voss. I'm the owner of Newtown Bicycle and Coffee Shop in Pleasant Hill, Missouri.
Is it okay if she goes just over that?
Sure. Here, you know how to use handbrakes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, sure, come on.
My wife, Laura, and I have dreamed of a hospitality-type place for many years. We may eventually create a bed and breakfast upstairs as well.
I like it.
Is it okay if she rides? She wants to try it.
Oh, sure. Well, it's been a little frustrating. We were hoping that there would have been more progress by now.
Thank you so much.
Second, thank you. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
It's definitely a step of faith. We've seen good progress on the trail and promises from Jefferson City, and so we're confident that they're going to keep moving forward. This part of town was built around the railroad. And with the decline of the railroad, I think it's ironic that now the bike trail is being built on those rails and also will be bringing revitalization.
Make it come up or just leave it.
Do the handlebars adjust?
They don't come up, but they tilt, but they won't come up, yeah.
Okay, I wonder, because some of them do, but...
Yeah. To hear what's going on with the Katy Trail expansion and what's slowing it down, go to kcur.org. That's the featured content on our website this morning. Back in the studio, we've got a few more minutes for this conversation about updating Kansas City's bike infrastructure. Our guests are Eric Rogers of Bike Walk KC, Deb Ridgway from the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and a bicyclist, Mitch Williams. He's a member of KC Metro Bicycle Club. We've got a full switchboard, and I want to get to these calls, so we're going to dive in, and then we'll give our guests a little time toward the end to tell us what is coming up, what's planned that we might not be noticing yet. Let's talk to Polly in Leawood. Hi, Polly.
Hi there.
What can you share?
I was wondering if there were any plans to add a bike path along Ward Parkway. I was driving down Ward Parkway yesterday, and I thought this would be a great place for a bike path with the boulevard being hopefully usable space. But from the plaza on down south to 95th or beyond.
So connecting the plaza area with some of the maybe more south areas of the city and even suburbs. Deb?
Well, right now, we don't have any plans specifically for Ward Parkway. Our bikeway plan identifies some of the local neighborhood streets as that connection, using Summit and Valley Road, for example, from the plaza south.
Let's talk to Ebony. She is joining us from Gladstone. Hi, Ebony.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to make a comment because I've lived in Seattle, so I'm familiar with how wonderful bike lanes can be, not only for a cyclist, but for the driver. And
seems that maybe we've lost Ebony. She's concerned about safety of drivers, safety of bicyclists, and that are there a lot of accidents?
There are some crashes. That's a number that has actually come down in the last few years. We're making good progress. There was a spike in bike fatalities about 7-8 years ago, and there was a big effort between advocates and city governments and law enforcement to address that, and that number has come down.
What has that effort looked like? I mean, what is the shape of it?
It's some of those things we talked about earlier. So education campaigns, safety messages, enforcement events, ticketing motorists that don't yield to cyclists, ticketing cyclists that don't stop at stop signs, all of those sorts of things.
We have a tweet from Vicky who asks, what about connecting the Lime Creek Trail to the downtown airport? When will that be completed?
That is a great question. We are currently working on figuring out where that connection will happen and how we get from Riverside into kind of around the interstate issue to make that happen. But we do hope to in the future. I won't say when.
Eric, what are your thoughts about this?
I think that's an issue that is really common across the metro area is we have all of these great river levees that make natural places to put trails. But it's always a challenge to get access to those levees. That one in particular has been a challenge on the north side of the Missouri River. In KCK and Wyandotte County, that's been a big focus in the last year or two, especially with Mayor Holland, is getting access to the Kansas River levees, and they did open the first one up last year. And so we're making some progress there, and there's still more to come.
Let's talk to Jean in Kansas City. Jean, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thanks very much. I'd like to make a comment for the folks that keep the maintenance of the trails. This would be a specific section of the trail that goes like east along 103rd Street or south of 103rd Street along the creek and just east of Holmes. All of a sudden, the trail is going east and it takes a sharp turn to the right and it's very steep. So you have this all of a sudden this steep downhill and then it turns left suddenly. So you have like this switchback that you don't know is coming, and it often gets muddy since it is close to the creek there. And we've seen people wipe out, and if now that we know it's coming, you know, we slow down and we actually walk that because it is such a short little downhill and then a quick left turn.
I'm going to get some response for you, Jean. What is this a trouble spot that you guys have heard about before, and how do people communicate those with you?
So the best way to communicate any maintenance issue in Kansas City is using our 311 Action Center, either via Twitter, email, or online, phone calls as well. Indian Creek Trail, which I believe is the trail that that Jean is referencing, definitely has some areas that are low-lying when we have heavy rains like we have had. Mud does accumulate on the trail, and we do try to send crews out, and I will be sending a note as soon as I get to the office to have folks go take a look at that.
I'm curious about how much state issues affect you guys. Like, when a state transportation proposal and the funding proposal for that comes through, is a biking component of that usually a part of it? Or do you have to sort of work with what has been voted through and try to insert yourselves into that process?
So right now in both Missouri and Kansas, there is very little to almost no state funding for bicycling and walking. The cities that we've talked about, like Seattle and Portland and Chicago, those cities that are really good on this issue are often in states where the state provides support for multimodal transportation. Missouri especially is one state that provides almost zero support for public transit in general, not just biking and walking. And so that leaves it up to the local communities to find the funding themselves, to use their own resources, and to come up with their own way to match some of the federal funding that's out there. And this is something that we talk with a lot with other communities across the two states about, advocating for more multimodal policies and funding at places like MoDOT and KDOT.
But MoDOT has a stated goal of expanding bicycle operations, right? So how does that what's the idea there when there isn't allocated funding?
So MoDOT tries to do what they can. We know if they're replacing a bridge that has a sidewalk, they'll try to improve the sidewalk. There are, especially in the city, there are actually a lot of city streets that are MoDOT-owned streets, like Bannister Road, North Antioch, places like that, that are actually state-controlled and funded. The big challenge with MoDOT across the board is that they're just out of money for everything, not just biking and walking.
You guys, we have just a minute left, so I want you each to tell me a little bit about what's coming up that we might not know about, and I'm sorry that these answers have to be fast.
Sure. A couple really cool things coming up in the Bike Walk KC world. We're adding 7 new B-Cycle bike share stations next month at 18th and Vine, Union Hill, and along the Trolley Track Trail. We're looking forward to expanding our Safe Routes to School programming, which is getting kids walking and biking, moving into Johnson County this year for the first time, and then working with the business community on the Healthy KC initiative at the Kansas City Chamber to really expand biking and walking as something that's good for business.
Deb.
All right. Well, so the city has several really great projects coming. The one that I'm really excited about is our first ever bicycle boulevard. which will be on Benton, adding 8 miles of new bikeways.
What does that mean, bicycle boulevard?
It's usually a local street where we do some additional infrastructure that would typically be just a signed bike route, where we'll add some pavement markings. We're going to do some green pavement treatments and some additional special signs that we're branding just for this. And then we've got several other federal projects that'll be coming in 2016, 17, 18 that include Charlotte and Holmes, Lexington and Gladstone, and the Paseo Boulevard, and several complete streets projects, including Inglewood, and many, many more.
That is all the time we have for today's show. This is such an important conversation, and we'll keep it going. Eric Rogers, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Deb Ridgway, it's been helpful to get the perspective from within the city.
Thanks for having me.
Mitch Williams, safe riding out there. We appreciate your contributions.
Thank you for allowing me to join.
This show will be posted online later today. Listen back or share the conversation at kcur.org/Central Standard. We'll be checking in again on bicycle infrastructure this time next year to see how things have progressed and whether they've gone as planned. Tomorrow, we'll meet an artist who's exploring her own family's rumors and legends, comparing them to reality. Meet Judy Levy tomorrow on Central Standard. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Alex Smith brought us the voices from along the Katy Trail. I'm Gina Kaufman. That's it for today. Stick around for Up to Date next.